So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, son, we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snarl hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give me the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real, drop a pipe bomb. Get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop a heavy tag team it like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other cats are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
We're excited to be back with you this week. Thank you guys for checking out the special episode that we put up. My trip to Mexico definitely had some good parts, like getting that interview, but also some bad parts in that we weren't able to record normally. So we're not going to go over everything bit by bit. But just before we get started, a reminder that we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, RHWorld.com, and LastWordOnProWrestling.com, and we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. You guys, we have a big show, so we have an interview with the Young Bucks. We are going to talk about Manhattan Mayhem and some tidbits about WWE before we get out of here. But thanks for listening, and thanks for sticking by us through the break. So let's start off with the most recent news. Manhattan Mayhem, I got a chance to go in live in person. Maybe this will convince you, or maybe not, to come with me in June. It'll be my birthday, Runs, so it's my birthday month, so I don't know if you can say no to go into the show at the Hammerstein for my birthday. I'm just saying.
The TV tapings on the 2nd?
I believe that's the show. Yeah, they announced the show that was to be there, so I think... I'm just putting it out there that it would be weird if we weren't there. And radio silence. All right, so I'll work on you as we go forward. But first, first impressions overall of Manhattan Mayhem.
I think you should probably go first.
All right, so I'm going to tell you that being there live now, they also did they taped a little bit, I believe, for Being the Elite. And just about the time that we come out with this, I'm not going to lie, the next episode of Being the Elite is going to be out. I got to talk to the guys, and they said that, you know, well, it's been out there. They're releasing the event for All In. But they taped after the main event, and they had Rick Abani come out. And basically, they did F the Revival. They did Where Do You Think You're Going? And then they asked Marty to sing, and Marty was like, you know, that his heart's broken, and he can't sing. And you'll see this on Being the Elite. They pull in Rick Abani and have him, he yells, well, Rick Abani thinks he's a better singer than me. So he starts to sing, the crowd goes, you know, just boos him mercilessly. And then Marty ends up finally feeling like he can do it. He sings and he sings, Bullet Club's Back, All Right, whatever. And it was, listen, the for me, and I can understand how maybe the show to me didn't start off super hot. The opener, and I actually I mean this, and it's not just because I like Ring of Honor. I've been covering it. I'm close to it. I thought the opener was good, but the crowd just, I don't know. It just, something didn't seem to connect about that match. I thought the Briscoes were giving the other two teams the time to get going. That was supposed to be a four-corner survival. And I mean, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention that Alex Shelley, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky were not able to travel to the show. On top of that, Ultimo Guerrero, Voldor Jr., and Sobrano Jr. got held up at customs, and literally Sobrano had to run out of the cab and run into the ring for his match. So the main event was completely changed. The Kingdom got thrown in there. This four-way match was changed, this four-corner survival, because there was an extra team. They even had to basically say that the Best Friends had won the vote later on in the night to team up with Kenny King, and instead have Cheeseburger come out, because Trent is basically, as Chuck E.T. said, he's like, he's basically dead right now. He's on his deathbed, which, I mean, it's just such a little thing that for me was like completely amazing. So,
now, I understand these are your quick hits, and we'll run through some things a little bit more. However, I also would like you to realize that the two things that you mentioned as being, you know, the most enjoyable for you was being the Elite segment after the show and Chuck Taylor just being awesome at being Chuck Taylor. I love Ring of Honor. These shows are never bad. Everyone on the roster is good. Like, they have entertaining guys. The crowd is into those guys. Those guys do a great job. But it was what it was. It's just a show. It doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme.
Yeah, can I... How about if we frame it this way also, just to be 100% fair? Next week is the pay-per-view.
All right. Like, you went to a good episode of Raw.
Yeah, I mean, this is the VOD. This is what last year, most people, you included, weren't watching. Right? I would watch these shows. I would talk about them. I mean, I'm even seeing more people on the internet now. People, the same people who cover Ring of Honor a lot, they would not cover the VODs at all.
Right.
Never mentioned. And I felt like I was the only person. One time, I actually Googled one of the VODs so I could see somebody else's point of view, and I started reading the review, and I was like, "Wow, this seems like close to my style," and I realized it was mine that somebody had linked to. So, listen, I watched a lot of those VODs, and a lot of those VODs, especially like not last year the most, but the year before especially, would actually mean nothing. There was nothing on the show that was a connecting thread. Like, on tonight's show, you had the Cody and the Flip stuff that's been, like, brewing.
Right.
You had...
Right. There were some smaller... there were some, like, you know, bigger stories that just kind of continued through, like, tag matches and stuff. And then there were some smaller stories that you really got the one-on-one or the, you know, the guys going at it for a good amount of time. So, you know, that's why, like, it was a good show. It was a fine show. It was just exactly like, you know, it was a house show. It was what it was. So you can't expect the world from it, you know, and you don't go into it expecting, a final battle or a Super Card of Honor or a 16th anniversary style show. So that it was fine. It was enjoyable. I will never in my life complain about having random wrestling on that I don't really have to pay for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Being able to just throw on Honor Club at 7 o'clock and it be on is always great. So, I mean, Honor Club for me so far has been awesome. I've been able to watch a show or two now already on it. This one was live. So that was great. I've been able to watch some old school stuff and, you know, the quality of last night's show was fantastic. I think it's the best that Ring of Honor has ever looked for me personally. You know, I mirrored it and put it on my TV, but it looked amazing, man. It was really clear. It was really like, you know, you could see a difference. I'm not sure if they changed anything or just putting it on TV, whatever the case. But either way, I saw a difference, and it made it feel like it was a bigger show.
It seems like something, if I have to be honest here, I think it's something to do with their, I think the camera, I think they had upgraded cameras, but I think the websites, are, like in my mind, something like the server or the video player is relaying that in a clearer way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. And at one point, they had this camera angle that I noticed it during Flip and Cody, and you know I was half paying attention to other things, so I noticed it during Flip and Cody where it was kind of like in the corner a little bit, but more in the crowd.
Okay.
So like it was from a corner angle, but further back, and it looked really cool because it gave you a different positioning for like the hard camera ish, you know, instead of it being in the middle of the rope, and you have that straight on view, which they also had. Then you just had a little bit of an angle that, I don't know, it felt a little closer. It felt cool. So that would be something that I would like to see them play with on some of these VODs, you know, just throw an extra camera angle out there, throw something new out there, and try to get something different.
Yeah, you know, I can't speak to that. What I can't speak to is I forgot how if you're in the upper level of the Hammerstein, but I was the first row of the top tier, and man, like there was even a camera person who came over, like a still photo person, who was working with Ring of Honor, and you know you'd see her on the floor, and then she would just pop up and be like right next to me. Up there and like looked at us in the first row there and was like, you know, you guys have like the best seats in this house because it's just the perfect angle. It was crazy, you know, right there for the Adam Page stuff. So it was like for me, presentation wise, the way the building was, I was really into it. The only thing, like I said, that for me was a problem, and this will kind of bring us into the show, that the opener, it just, people weren't seated yet, it seemed. It was,
yeah, there was nobody there.
It was really weird because, okay, how do I say this? It's the Briscoes, you know, like I would expect a pretty big pop when they come out, even though they're heels, right? Because it's New York City. Everybody knows who the Briscoes are. I think they've been doing excellent heel work. And that match, again, affected by the trip. So instead of being a sort of four-way, it was a three-way. And, you know, and who knows, because I mean, I think the Briscoes would have been in this match the entire time because they're challenging for the titles, keep them away from the Guns, maybe have the Guns be with Kenny, and then have them run through these guys, but still have a good match. And I thought the match itself was good. I think if you watch it and you're just not cognizant of like crowd stuff, you know, it actually, things were connecting. The Briscoes looked vicious. I thought Coast to Coast got to put in their stuff. I always like the dog stuff. I think it makes me laugh every time. But they're, you know, they balance it well, I think, with still doing like in-ring stuff. So it's not like completely just comedy and ridiculous. Like they could theoretically have pinned Coast to Coast and stolen the match there and gotten the Briscoes even more pissed and have the Briscoes attack them. But I don't know. The crowd felt lifeless for this one and just sitting on their hands. And I didn't. For big moves, I mean, the one that everyone rose for was the J-Driller. You know, that's when the first time during that match, I feel like, and that was the end, when everybody was like, oh, shit, because it looked like he was going to destroy Will Ferrara and kill him.
Right. He that it was vicious, and it was amazing. But I think, you know, with a lot of people not being inside yet, and the fact that, you know, they mentioned later on that this wasn't supposed to be the first match. Maybe it would have been different if it came second or if it was later on the card. But, you know, the Dogs and LSG, like, you're not, or, you know, Coast to Coast, they weren't going to win that match.
Yeah, that's tough.
So there was, like, when the teams all came out, I was kind of like, whoa. You know, unfortunately, Shelly and Saban couldn't be in the match because of the travel. But my question was, like, well, why not just put Saban in there with someone? I don't know. I guess you don't want to do that. But, you know, it was just basically a squash match for the Briscoes. Yes, the other teams got in their stuff. I don't understand the Dogs. I really don't.
Do you know what they're, like, referencing, or you mean you just don't connect with them?
Like, Rhett Titus just, like, tricking Will Ferrara? Like, I don't get, like, why aren't you just being his tag partner? I don't, you know.
Okay, picture me and Jules being a tag team. It's a reference for just the show, guys.
Okay.
I feel like that's what it would be like. I feel like Will Ferrara is that little guy who legit gets frustrated and angry, and Rhett Titus will forever be effing with him. Like, he's just, like, it doesn't matter if they're in a match or anything. Like, he's just like, yo, you're little Willie, I'm the big dog, and I'm going to mess with you.
So why be a tag?
Why did I have numerous friends who felt that it was more important while I was growing up to just mercilessly annoy the crap out of me to get me angry? Because it was funny when I was angry.
But you were never a tag team.
No, they just were like my friends at my house. Okay, all
right. Right. He was your rival in all times and everything.
Yeah, but we still did everything, you know?
Your reference makes a lot of sense. But I don't know. It just, I don't want to watch them.
Okay.
Fair. I don't, you know, I laugh, like, when he tagged in the Briscoe and jumped off. Like, that was funny. But then after that, it was kind of just downhill for me. And maybe it was just because there was no interest for me in seeing either of those other teams win. I knew the Briscoes were going to win, and I wanted to see them win. I enjoyed the promo at the end where they just said, like, hey, F you guys, we don't need you.
Yeah,
boo us. Good. Like, we're assholes now. The Briscoes are
so good.
Amazing.
So good.
You know, anyone who's ever watched the old school ROH when they would have, like, the Newswire and all that kind of stuff with the Briscoes, holy crap. The chicken farms and all those insane promos they used to cut were pure gold. You know, those guys are amazing, and I'm hoping they win the titles at the 16th anniversary.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. So then, a weird product of the way people poured in, legit, Tennille Dashwood got a massive pop, and the crowd had filled in by this point, and was, like, so into this match. I was so surprised. I'm sitting there going, the Briscoes were just out here. Right, these three teams were doing good work in there, and everybody was quiet.
Well, and I think that speaks to the promo that the Briscoes cut, because they got everyone a little fired up.
Yeah.
And a little vocal. So, you know, the heel work from them kind of warmed everyone up. But, yeah, I think it's kind of crazy. And Emma, Tennille Dashwood, she kind of speaks to how successful the Women's Evolution is.
Yeah.
Because here's someone who, like, yeah, she was good in NXT. People, that fan base really grew to love her. And she never really got her shine on the main roster. But now she leaves and goes to Ring of Honor, who's starting to build this women's division, and she could be a focal point of that. And she's over. And the division is over. And people are into these matches. And it's amazing to see. It was really cool to see that. And, you know, her and Perrazzo are very good. Mm-hmm. So, again, this was kind of like, I wonder who's going to win this one.
Yeah.
But you know, so again, it was tough to really, for me sitting at home, to like, oh, let me stare at the screen and watch this match. But it was enjoyable. The crowd was into it, and it was what it was.
Yeah, no, it was weird because I wasn't sure what the reaction was going to get because, like you said, the winners seemed kind of obvious. And they'd also been building on TV this idea that if Sumi and Jenny win their matches, they'll be facing off in the tournament soon. Like, they're in line to definitely do that, where they didn't really say that about Dashwood and Perrazzo. So
there's eight people in the tournament, isn't there? Like, isn't everyone in line to face each other?
Yeah, well, but I think it's because, like, in the next round directly. But it was, listen, the match came off a lot better than I thought it was going to before. Like, when I previewed, I would have thought that the tag match would have gone off a little bit better, the survival one. And this one instead surprised me, and the crowd was into it. And that's when I started to get excited about the show.
Yeah, Mandy Rose was Mandy Leon, right?
That's her name. No, Jenny Rose.
No, but Mandy was on commentary.
Oh, she was. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a little distracting because, like, they were talking about birthdays and birthday rings and, like, Ian and his wife and all this, like, you know, good stuff. So that was entertaining as well to listen to.
Commentary did such a good job. Honestly,
Cole
for Ring of Honor,
are great. Yeah, they really have a great chemistry.
Because it literally feels for me sometimes when I'm watching the shows that if there's a match that's not that great, it can, like, for me, yeah, the show can be more enjoyable because they're doing some, yes, they're doing something.
They do, right. They do a great job of bantering to get through it, and, you know, like, I feel like there's so many times where in my mind, like, I'm picturing Colt, like, Ian says something, and Colt is always just like, what? Like, no? And, you know, like, and then, like, they keep going. So they do a lot of good stuff, and it's definitely enjoyable.
Agreed.
Tonight they had a lot of people in the booth with them, and, you know, they played off all of them really well.
Cody won the just
yeah, of course.
Okay, I thought he was the guest commentator. All right. So then next we had was it Soberano Punishment Martinez?
Yeah, this was rough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was really disappointed in that I knew, like, some stuff wasn't connecting. Like, yeah, he still hit
Clash of Styles, for sure. And yeah, I mean, let's be very, very fair. Soberano had a rough day of travel. Oh. Changed in the taxi, apparently. Got out of it, ran in, got in the ring with Punishment. So I'm sure there was some fatigue, some emotion, some exhaustion, some everything that played into that. So we don't want to sit here and crap all over this match because we understand there's a human element to all this stuff. So it was what it was. Punishment got the win, destroyed him after, and the crowd got into that. So that helped. Hopefully we get something down the line to rip the ship for these two.
I think that Soberano is going to get another chance. I think that this was, you know, just completely, this was legit. This legit happened. This isn't kayfabe that they're trying to run. You know, all cards on the table. I went there so that I could, I got press access to speak to Ultimo Guerrero and Volador Jr. And from, I walked in at 4 o'clock, basically they were stuck at customs. Like, that's not a joke. So the fact, Soberano Jr. literally did get out of the cab and go straight to the ring.
Yeah, like, what a nightmare for Ring of Honor that, you know, this nor'easter and all this weather that, I don't know if there was anything else on their own side, but that prevented all these guys from traveling. They had injuries up and down the roster. All these guys were late, and who knew? So, you know, for considering all the stuff that went on there, they put together a very good show.
Yeah. So then after the Soberano match, Do we get Flip and Cody, or is it intermission?
No, it was Flip and Cody.
Flip and Cody, okay.
It might have been like a Gresham Q&A, and then
There's a Gresham Q&A, yeah, because he's been a little injured, but he's on the mend. He's gonna be coming back soon, and I think, you know, he's a good guy for Ring of Honor to have. He like reminds me of like this idea of like the best wrestling on the planet,
right? And again, this was something that I really enjoyed as a difference,
yeah,
on Honor Club. I loved being able to just see the Q&A or people talk to the crowd, that sort of thing. Forever, they always put on their old Ring of Honor matches, and that's great. You know, I enjoy watching like a CM Punk or Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe match while Ring of Honor is going on randomly, but I've seen a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, I like seeing these sorts of things that separate them from everyone else.
100%. No, I thought that was really good, and actually we'll talk about it in a second, but there's another Q&A that I don't think you saw during intermission. So then we had Flip and Cody. You know, Cody basically started off by doing a lot of his Cody stuff and interacting with the crowd, and then he had Barry with him, which, by the way, my favorite stupid moment of the night was when I texted you and said, I always thought Flip was Barry. And then thinking that obviously could just be somebody else, you idiot. Like after I sent the message, I was like, oh, why did I do that?
Correct. And I read it and I said, well, yeah, like obviously it's Flip and then it's just somebody else now. And I was just like, let me just leave it alone.
But then for a strange moment.
I think he knows that what he's saying.
I started thinking that it was, I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe it was just the beer at this point. I was like, what if it's Kenny Omega? And like something crazy happens.
Yeah, I thought about it. Just, you know, and then that's where you reality check yourself and feel like, oh, this is Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
But
imagine, you know, all those
missed
flights.
I thought about the same thing. Like, oh, that would be cool if it's Omega. Like the crowd would go insane. You know, I thought about like, yeah, what if it's Goldust? Like, I enjoy like when there's a thing like that going on because it's entertaining. Cody, I don't know, man. This stuff with Omega has given him something else.
Yeah.
He's always, since he's come to the Indies and turned a little bit, he's been this kind of over the top heel, but I don't know, man. Like he's playing it up to a whole other level now, and it's working.
Yeah,
the people, you know, love to cheer or root against him, whatever it is, and it's a lot of fun to watch. He had the crowd in the palm of his hand before the match even started, just toying with them. you know, like that does wonders for Flip. Like I was so into the match because I still wanted to see Flip lose because it's funny. But, mm-hmm. You know, I throughout the match, I was just like, oh, come on, Cody. All right, enough.
Yeah.
You know, it was – so he does such a great job at that. Brandy getting kicked and him just not giving a shit. It was – he's just great.
It's weird because when he was doing this as the champion, I – was kind of annoyed because I didn't want to see this in the title match, right? I didn't want like 10 minutes of a 20-minute title match to be like mm-hmm. posturing.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't have the title, now it's completely different. Like, I don't know, it's changed it for me. And, you know, you'll hear it, and you guys will hear it when we talk to the Bucks, but we got a chance to talk about briefly how being the Elite has just done wonders for guys. And it did wonders for Paige. Like, last year, that dude, like, was flat. It was flat at Manhattan Mayhem. I'm telling you, I was there, and the reaction was pretty quiet. Marty, I think, Marty was already kind of getting there, or he was going to get himself there somehow, but the show really changed things for him. And now Flip. Like Flip is becoming a made man because he shook someone's hand and they hazed him. That's what happened on a 10-minute YouTube show. And now the dude, you know, he had skills before, but now he's got this personality tied to him that's making him so much more appealing to people everywhere.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it ourselves, where it's amazing. Just anyone who's on the show is instantly they break out. You know, like they have a character. They just start showing more personality, and you know, it's amazing to see how just however many guys are on Being the Elite. And a YouTube show can just change literally the business and, you know, give all of these guys who weren't in the spotlight, weren't necessarily doing things and in a role now. I mean, Adam Page is fighting in New Japan for a singles title and all of the, you know what I mean? Like Marty was a singles champion in New Japan and so over as a character, you know. Now, when people chant "too sweet," they don't just chant "too sweet." They chant "too sweet," ooh, ooh, right? Like,
yeah.
Marty Scurll is ingrained in that now. So, you know, we've talked before of how, like, oh man, it's tough to see the Bullet Club split up or the Bucks and Omega, but like the Bucks, Paige, Cody, and Marty, like, they need each other. You know, Kenny, he doesn't necessarily need them right now.
Yeah.
So, like, while the friendship-wise, that stuff is a shame to see go, you know, the rest of that core is a necessity to keep together. So, you know, those guys are, you know, beyond enjoyable. It's something that, you know, whenever you see the Bucks, what goes through my mind is, like, man, it's such a shame that these guys can't just come in and work WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Hey, here's a feud from the Rumble to Mania, and that's it. You know, you guys want to stick around, come in every once in a while? Sure, great. Like, just, it would be great if there was something that WWE would be like, oh, this is going to be mutually beneficial to everyone. Let's just do it. All right, it's going to make you a little bit of a bigger star when you leave, and you'll make a little bit more money. Oh, it's not really that difficult. You've already been making enough. So yeah, let's come here and let us sell Bullet Club shirts for 3 months, and our, you know, we'll make a killing, and then that's it. Like, what difference does it make? You know?
Yeah, but you know, if
I get it, it's a business.
Yeah.
I get it.
And if we have to choose between one or the other right now, I'm happy seeing what they're doing. So
no, I don't. But for them, you know, being that we follow and through Being the Elite and all their stuff on Twitter, Instagram, everything, we see everything that they're doing. So, like, seeing how much fun these guys are having, seeing how hard they're working to spread their brand and get their stuff in topic. Why would I want to see them go to WWE and be like everyone else? You know, I don't know. I'm not sure that they would be treated like everyone else because of how good they are. But man, you never know.
Yeah. So that, so really, like that, that beautiful disaster that Cody hit. I saw it setting up and I was like, yes, this is great. And then he turns, because there was a point where, even though I thought Cody was going to win, once he hit the first crossroads, that did wonders to get me to go, wait a minute, he's gotten the nightmare lock and the crossroads, how's he going to win?
Right.
Like, you know, I never thought he'd hit a second crossroads, so it was good.
Right, when he was just taking his time and not pinning Flip after the crossroads, yeah, it was like, huh, maybe Flip will get the win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so just great job all around. Good for them.
Then intermission, which I normally complain about, but listen, I was writing this up basically live on the spot. I didn't have a live review going, but intermission allowed me to hotspot my phone to my iPad and type and fix stuff before the intermission was over. And during intermission, a very surprise guest, Prince Nana, came out, and he ran Q&A for Kelly Klein, and he's just insulting people. Like, I think Streamer Guy called Prince Nana by his, like, shoot first name, and he's like, excuse me, my name is Prince Nana. You will address me as royalty.
I'm sorry. Note the time. Go back 20 seconds and erase that you said Streamer Guy on this podcast, please. Get that guy out of here, man. I'm not giving that guy any publicity.
I'm not. Okay. I don't feel like editing. We're going to continue the show.
Oh, Jesus.
I just wanted to indicate that it was just kind of like a weird moment that happened. Also, some guy legit asked Kelly Klein if she would, like, marry him or something, which was...
See, yeah, that's why you can't give people microphones.
You know, it was pretty awful. But I thought they kept the intermission shorter this time around, too.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. And, you know, at home, I got to watch Samoa Joe versus Bryan Danielson, so...
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah. So, I mean... You probably had a little bit better experience, but I really needed the time, so I was happy either way. They came back from intermission, and now I know for you guys at home that knew what was happening, this probably was a throwaway segment. But for everybody there, there was no announcement about the people missing. So the
right. So yeah, at the beginning of the show, they came on and they said, oh, you know, people, weather is out of our control, nothing we can do here, these people that are missing, here's the changes to the matches, and then they went from there. So it was very, very strange to me. You know, we were communicating it, but it was really strange to me that they didn't announce anything at the beginning of the show. You know, they could have had this segment right away. And Matt Taven would have gotten the crowd going,
yeah,
and warmed up for the opener. So I'm not sure. Maybe if it was an oversight, maybe Matt Taven was taking a crap. I don't know. Anything could have happened where it just didn't work out at the beginning, unless it was just an oversight and they didn't think about it. Because, you know, that's kind of messed up to me, that you don't tell the people who are there that your main event has changed.
Yeah, I guess that's why you do it this way, though, with a little bit of story. And the truth is that, like we talked about earlier in the show, if you make that announcement at the beginning when not everybody is seated, now people might be even more irritated when they come back and they realize that, you know, that suddenly it's changed. So you're right. In a perfect world, you start it with Taven, he gets that heat, he gets the crowd into it, everybody knows right away, but not everybody would have known. So like in some weird way, like I don't know if they planned it on purpose, but it was a smarter move.
I guess.
I was looking forward to seeing Gary Juster being interviewed on Coleman's Pulpit, though, but I wonder.
Yeah, that was just great.
There's always going to be a part of me that wonders, what was the original plan for that segment, considering...
I don't think there was one.
I don't know, yeah. I wonder if they
just go out there and say this random person, let's, you know...
And then they essentially lucked out because since everything that happened, they could use that segment now to announce that the Kingdom was going to be there.
Yeah, or maybe, like, the Kingdom was going to interrupt, or maybe it was going to be the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because they probably weren't doing anything.
Oh, yeah, no.
On a side note, for me personally, and I'm pretty sure for you because I know you like Taven, this was better. I wasn't angry that the Kingdom was now in the main event. I like the Kingdom. It sucks that TKO O'Brien got hurt and their stuff got cut short. So ever since then, they've been enjoyable. Taven is in the midst of a nice run right now. And, you know, I wasn't mad.
He is Matt Taven. No, but I thought it was fine. I thought the segment made sense. Then you had this six-man tag with Chuck E. Cheese. So now I didn't see the Chuck E. Cheese thing. Like, he basically announced Cheeseburger, but the Chuck E. Cheese thing that you saw on TV, obviously I didn't get to see. So that to me, when I saw it later, I was like, oh, man, I wish I would have heard Chuck E. Cheese, because that's amazing. But I had always thought that whoever it was, it didn't matter if it was going to be another tag team that was one of the voted on tag teams or whatever. I always thought that Young, Bruiser, and Malonis were going to go over because they're trying to push Malonis and Bruiser. And honestly, those three have, you know, worked together before, whereas whoever it was going to be like a random pairing. And that, to me, was an easy way of saying these guys, you know, the random pairing loses because they haven't worked together, really.
Right. I mean, there was no need for the baby faces to get the win here when, like you said, the heels are, you know, like a real trio and they're doing things. So that was fine.
Hey, you don't
pin
the champ.
First time that I've saw Malonis. And, I mean, he wasn't bad, but he just wasn't someone that I want to watch wrestle.
Fair. We'll see how it works out, you know, when he, the more work he gets up there. You know, he is I kind of enjoyed the stuff with him and Cheeseburger, you know, Cheeseburger trying to take down this impossibly large man, and Malonis just clotheslining his head off. So there were some spots there that I enjoyed.
These guys are enjoyable to watch, but I don't know, man.
It's you know what it is? I'll be 100% honest here. He's not your Bryan Danielson. He is not your low-key. He is not Samoa Joe.
Right.
You know, he is more of your typical, like, 1980s big man who's going to destroy stuff. And that's just not what Ring of Honor in its history has had.
Right. Like, but I look at someone like Punishment, and I'm like, okay, that's the big guy.
That's different. Yeah.
Then okay. I look at him and I'm like, that's a big country dude. I get it. I get it.
It's definitely different. I will continue to reserve judgment completely. I want to see more tag matches that aren't like real squashes with them, and see how they like kind of pair up. Maybe, I mean, I like to see them against the Machine Guns at some point. Like, I just think that they need to get some different looks as well.
Just while we're on the Bruiser, it makes a lot more sense to me now why the Bruiser was added to the Beretta and Castle match.
Mm-hmm.
Because Beretta was
hurt,
injured,
and yeah.
couldn't really do much. But it just doesn't make sense to me still why it was Bruiser who was added. But I get why someone was added.
Yeah. No, and then this continues the Young Kenny King stuff. So,
yeah,
I think it was smart. They're gonna have a match at the anniversary show. So all together, average match. I didn't think anything like amazing, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what your take is on this match. I was really into this match. The Castle and Volador Jr. versus Guerrero and Jay Lethal. Now, clearly, I've been watching tons of CMLL. I was there last Friday, and some people might say, like, this is a really random pairing, but Guerrero and Volador have kind of been rivals for a while. They had basically like a Lethal Lottery tag tournament, and they paired them together, and very basically, like, it's like the top babyface and the top heel, or Rudo and Tecnico in the company. So they pair them up together. They make it to the finals, and they take on one guy who's a Los Ingobernables, and another guy who's not, but he's been courted for the group. Then they end up losing. Like, shoot, the 2 days before, Guerrero essentially kind of broke Volador's nose in a one-on-one match they had, and then they had to team together because he tripped, hit the ropes in a weird way, and his nose broke. So that's why he was wearing that mask. Then they actually wrestled in the finals of the tournament. It was a great match. Like, it was, of all the matches I saw in Arena Mexico, that one was the craziest. Like, the crowd was going nuts, throwing money at the end. Like, it was like pure insanity. So now to have them, who were previously with issues, then team together but still kind of have issues on opposite sides, it's so much better if you know that, right? If you don't know that, you're like, oh, who are these dudes? Or I kind of know them, but this is kind of random. But here, it's like two guys who have earned, who are rivals but have respect for each other. And then you have Lethal and Castle who are rivals but who have respect for each other. So like to have them go against each other like this, to me, was great. But that's because I'm like knee-deep in both promotions, you know, and watching it.
Yes, because I didn't get any of that.
Okay, of course not, yeah. They should have brought me in for commentary on this one because I think that would have helped the audience really connect with this match.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, this is a case of I don't know Volador and Ultimo Guerrero. They're in CMLL. I will never, it's just not, I don't speak Spanish. So it's tough for me to watch. It's not something that I can really get into. So
you don't speak Japanese, but you know, whatever.
But there's English commentary.
True. Okay.
So, and there are plenty of Americans. So, you know, the disconnect is there. So when I see them in a match and I'm not familiar with them, and to me, they are not people that I'm going to watch in PWG and I'm going to watch in WWE and NXT and et cetera, I don't really care. And so that just, you know, I'll tell you this. I have heard that it was a good match, but that's all I could tell you.
Fair.
Because I didn't pay attention to it at all. I think during this match, it was like the final 5 minutes of a very close Celtics game that I was watching. So that distracted me greatly. But, yeah, tag matches are already one thing, right, where it's just, okay, here are four guys who are feuding. Let's put them in a tag match. And you know, that's a thing that I don't really care about ever. I don't care if it was like, this is Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior against Sergeant Slaughter and Macho Man. Like, it's still just two guys who are feuding, you know? So, I don't know. Castle and Lethal are great. I love them both. But wrestling against each other in a random tag match, and I get it. It's 5 before they wrestle in the pay-per-view. I get it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, see, and it's a shame because I really, as I said before, with all that other background stuff, to me, it made that so much better. I think at the end of the match.
Right, but, and like, so, think of any New Japan.
Yeah, no, I get
it. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't.
If that was Goto Ishii.
When this happened at Honor Rising, like it was basically the same like kind of six man. Did you care as much when it was Taguchi and
No, not at all. This is because I am, you know, very familiar with CMLL's product, and right. I will say that one of the things I like about Ultimo Guerrero, though, whenever that dude comes to Ring of Honor, he's over. Like he gets himself over with that crowd before he leaves. The stuff with the boys, and he was like, I got my eye on you, and he was watching them and like kind of messing with them and getting the crowd against him at the end when he grabbed the belt.
Yeah, maybe you can explain that to me. Because that was very awkward.
He's just a bad guy, and he's just being a bad guy.
So watching the end of that, right, I did see that when everyone was in the ring. And what it looked like to me on TV was Castle and Lethal. Like, yo, guys, be in the ring, face-to-face, hold up the title, get ready. You know, classic shot, right, before the match. But one of the guys is standing, like, directly next to Lethal. And then, so it's like, oh, hey, man, like, hey, buddy, move out of the way. You're standing in our shot. And then, like, they go to a different camera angle, so, like, he's not directly in it. And then Ultimo Guerrero pops back in. And now I'm like, oh, look at this. Like, now they're both. He's like, oh, shit. Hey, if you're going to be in the ring, then I'm going to stay in the ring with you. And then he grabs the belt. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Why are you jumping up and taking the title away from this moment? And then Castle got it back. And then Lethal took it from Castle. And I was like, oh, hot potato. And then that was it. It was just over. It was very strange.
Well, I think what happened was, Guerrero took it. Lethal took it back. Lethal took it back from Guerrero, looked at it, and then handed it to Castle. And I thought there was like a moment.
But in my mind, it was like Ultimo Guerrero just went into business for himself and like tried to actually steal the title, and they caught him rolling out of the ring.
And so
I'm sitting here laughing like, yo, where did he think he was going? Did he think he was going to run through the locker room and like book it with the title? And
then, I don't know.
So then like Lethal took it back like, all right, let me save this segment before it completely goes off the rails. And you know what I mean? Like it came across very strange to me, man. Because Ultimo Guerrero had no business stealing the title.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think it was him going to business for himself at all. That's not the type of dude I think that he is, especially when it comes to Ring of Honor.
I'm not saying it was.
Oh, yeah.
It's just how it seemed on TV. It was like, what is going on here?
I loved it. It reminded me like of an Eddie Guerrero type, like, you know, lie, cheat, and steal. Like, he's just going to, like, not thinking forward. He's just like, I'm just going to take this fucking belt. I'm leaving. Like,
right, exactly. Business for himself. Just said, fuck it.
I love it. Yeah. It's funny to me. I actually that added to me like that. I popped so hard for that, yo.
It added for me too, but in a different way.
I'm like yelling like Vayate, Vayate, like just go with it, go with it. Like I'm super excited. So that was amazing. All right, so then we have the main event. Now at this point. Because of that interaction, because of that match, because I was so into that match, and like, you know, look, with the Soberano match aside, because that was a little, you know, there were some difficulties there, I felt like the show was steadily rising from the opener. And
yes, I like that. Yeah.
You know, and that's why, like, I'm going to say, when someone says, how was the show? Listen, I've gone you've probably had the same reaction when you've gone to like really good wrestling like cards where every match is good. Probably, if you have to be honest here, every match like what maybe was better than the matches they would have been paired up with here. But I walk out and I'm like, that was a good show. I had a good time. There were some good matches, right? Like there was some good wrestling. But I walked out last night after that main event, like. The entire night, I'm, like, being, like, you know, proper. I'm dressed up. I've got my press pass. I'm, like, blah, 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 like, typing my stuff up. I just I stopped kind of trying to write stuff and just started marking out during this match. Like, I was just having a good time watching wrestling. Shocked by stuff, cheering stuff. When Marty does the moonsault, when Paige does his crazy moonsault. And that's, like, ignoring, like... Orion coming out of the crowd and people legit thinking that that was a fan. Like, everyone was like, what is happening? Vinny Marsaglia coming out with the clown, like, three balloons and letting those go up. Like, just weird moments. Nick being crazy and hitting that 450 after the table broke anyway on Shane Taylor.
Yeah, that was... Jesus.
Matt Taylor coming out. Matt Jackson coming out like a house of fire and just clearing the ring, and like everybody was super pumped up. Those guys only had a couple of hours to decide how that was going to work out. And they nailed it. Like, absolutely nailed it. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, the main event was really enjoyable. The Bullet Club are just, they're on another level right now. The same with Cody. Like, everyone is clicking at such a high level. They're so over, and everyone is having such good matches that, you know, they're over, rightfully so. So, you know, this was your typical, not that it was your typical like 6 or 8 man match, because they staggered the entrances and you had all that good stuff. So that helped. And there was a lot more brawling and stuff with the crowd and tables and weapons and all that. So it was a lot more chaotic. But this was everything that you expect from these big Bullet Club matches. And it was awesome. It was enjoyable. I loved everything you said, like, about the Kingdom. I'm glad that the Kingdom got inserted into this match. I think it worked for them, and I think it helped for the match. I was more excited to see the Kingdom than I would have been to see SoCal Uncensored. So maybe that's just me.
No, I mean,
I enjoy the Kingdom a lot more than I enjoy. I mean, you know, Daniels and Kaz are great.
Yeah.
And Scorpio Sky is one of the talented dudes. But, you know, I don't really care to watch Scorpio Sky. Like, he's been around forever, for a really long time. So have the rest of those guys. So, you know, I'm not opposed to seeing the Kingdom get a shot and get some cool stuff.
Yeah, I like the Kingdom tons. I think they're great. I think they have, like you're saying, years ahead of them to be able to do stuff. I think that Taven, even when he was injured, was consistently talking about how he disliked the Bullet Club, so there will always be issues with those two groups. You know, Taven, and what's nice here is, like, it's very clear the Bullet Club are the faces. And, you know, the Kingdom, I mean, Taven is so good at being a heel, and even the way Orion came out, that was very heelish. Just a lot of the things they were doing was great. You know, Taylor worked well with them. You know, it doesn't make as much sense with Taylor being with them as it would with SoCal Uncensored, right? Because it was part of the storyline.
Yeah, that part was strange.
That was just storyline, because,
you know, hey, the weather is what it is. There's nothing they can do about that.
SoCal had paid off Shane Taylor at some point, so that's why that made sense. Here, it didn't make as much. But like I said, like you said, the weather thing, I mean, there's nothing to be done. But, you know, this is why I write my reviews, and then I publish them so that I don't go back on what I felt when I wrote it, right? Based on anything else. And then I'll go and look at other reviews. And I was like, oof. Like, some people did not, like, some people were average about the show, and some people did not like it and felt like it, you know, was below their expectations. I walked out of there cloud nine, super excited. Like, this was great. You know, maybe it's being able to sing Everybody by the Backstreet Boys along with, like, 2,000 other people at the top of your lungs. Maybe that's part of it. That was definitely fun. But I really enjoyed it, man. The live experience was great. And I'm not going to go back on what I said. If you haven't gotten a chance to see the show, and especially, you know, listen, I'm not working for the company. I just feel like, in terms of the amount of money I would spend to get the VODs and everything like that separately, the full year VIP membership makes the most sense, and then you should watch this card.
It's a joke. Like, Honor Club is a joke. Like, it is for the VIP stuff to get all of these shows and all their pay per views, all that good stuff. It's a joke. Do it. Sign up. You will not regret it. Let's also just mention, we mentioned quickly, but Adam Page doing the moonsault off the balcony. Man, that's something that will be on Ring of Honor's highlight reel forever. That will never go away. That was pretty cool. That was an awesome spot for them, for him. A moonsault? A little dangerous? Because, geez, he almost missed everyone.
My God.
Yeah. But, that was pretty sick. Like, and, you know, this is another thing that I like about Rick Abani and Colt is, like, they react to things. You know, they're not just monotonous or, oh, wow, that will look at that moonsault. Like, they were like, oh, my God! You know, they were screaming and, like, that's going to be a moment in Ring of Honor history. So, you know, that kind of stuff makes you feel it, you know, and it adds to it.
That's great. Like, I obviously didn't get that there. I actually got I was fumbling with my phone, so I put it up on Twitter, and it's a little grainy. But it almost makes it seem like cooler. I feel like it's almost like Mid-South, like 1986. But yeah, no, it, no, because yeah, just the video.
Adam Page looks like a Mid-South 1986 wrestler. So yeah, it's perfect.
That video quality, it literally was like I put a filter on that made it look like that, and that's not what happened. It just, there were so many people, it didn't focus on anything because it was like confused. And I was just like, just record this. This is going to be the most insane thing in the world. And it really was. That guy, it's a crazy what a difference a year makes or a TV show. So, speaking of our YouTube show, what a YouTube show can do for somebody, got a chance to just want to say thanks to the Young Bucks. You know, they have a very busy schedule, and literally they cut into
just,
their...
Just slightly.
Literally cut into their time to eat, to chat with us about the show. So just really great time, and I hope you guys enjoy the interview.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome Matt and Nick Jackson to the show. Matt and Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me and my brother.
So I got to start off, honestly, being the Elite, how much more fun is that like now as it's being incorporated into New Japan and ROH?
Yeah, it makes it a lot of fun because every idea from being the Elite is pretty much from Matt and myself. So seeing our ideas come to life pretty much is... very, very cool. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't know if you want to add.
It's very rewarding when you come up with a concept and, like, literally when you're in the shower on an airplane and then, like, literally, because it'll be Friday and we'll have nothing.
Yeah.
And I'll be on that flight Friday and I'll start writing on my notepad a couple ideas. And by the time Sunday rolls around, not only have we shot it, we've edited it, we put it up on YouTube. So it's like, it's fun because it's a quick turnaround, but it's also a lot of pressure because everybody expects good content on a weekly basis now. So it's like,
we had to actually, speaking of on the fly booking, everything changed for this week. We can't get into detail because of flights were canceled and stuff.
Yeah.
So we had to rewrite
our show.
The
whole show was centered around one moment today that was supposed to happen. It's not happening.
And it's not happening at all.
So we literally on the show, while we got to the building, we were like, well, let's do this instead.
What do we got to do? So we came up with something good at least. But man, it sucks when that type of stuff happens. But you got to work on your toes, and it makes it a little easier.
It's fun being challenged like that. It's like, hey, let's do something different. And it's cool too that the other companies have kind of like not shied away from us and ignored us. Like they actually like. They promote it. They talk about us now on other shows.
At first, man, it was hard. ROH didn't understand it. Like, this is weird.
Well, we're killing people with Monster Energy drinks. I get it.
New Japan was very resistant. They would actually, they still do. They don't allow me to use any of the footage from
I think a lot of that's the licensing, though, with the Asahi TV.
Still, come on. I'm giving them, like, a platform.
We're actually helping your storyline.
Like, we have more viewers than your world, you know what I mean? New Japan world. So, like, come on, man.
I think people are starting to recognize that, though.
They understand. And now it's funny because now during their interviews, they are asking us, hey, we saw this on Being the Elite. Tell us why. And so now they're in on it as well.
They get
obviously,
it.
Obviously, they see that it's become successful. So it helps a lot.
I think that's the way to tell stories in 2018 is multi-platforms. It's not just like, hey, here's one TV show. It's no. Here's a YouTube show. Here's New Japan World. Yeah. Here's ROH's streaming. Here's Twitter accounts. It's like so many. It's multi-platforms. Yeah. It's like, and you got to use them all now. You have to. It's important, you know.
And I think the continuity you guys keep is amazing. Just small things. The branded stuff. And then Brandon's got a Twitter, you know?
Like,
I mean, just that extra little bump, I think, is something that everyone really appreciates.
Right, I think that... wrestling, everyone goes, it's just wrestling. Don't matter. The fans will forget next week. It's like, no. Like, there's still TV watching fans.
Yeah,
like,
you got continuity to things. It pays off at the end, like, of an angle.
For the long-term fans especially, they're like, oh, thank God I watched episodes 14 through 51 or whatever. They talked about that. I know what they're talking about. That's for me, you know? Some people may go, well, I just started watching this. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
But most of the audience has stuck around since episode one, you know?
Like a prime example of... things that worked for our group at least is Hangman Page. He is over as hell now.
Yeah,
and
you can see the growth if you watch the show.
Before Bullet Club, I'll be honest, and he'll probably be honest too. He wasn't getting the reactions.
No, Marty wasn't either.
Yeah,
Marty was just
he was growing.
He was getting over, and I remember. But then he joined, and it was like bang, and it like went nuts. And a year it was a year now.
He was over huge in the UK, but not yet in the States.
He wasn't a superstar like he is now. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we're at a meet and greet, and he's got just as much t-shirts as we do in the audience. Yeah. It's like, wow, look at this in 1 year.
But it's not just us though. Like I said, Paige, man.
And look at Cody. Cody's a guy where it's like, hey, they're not treating me right. I'm going to go elsewhere. And it's, he's shown this whole other side of him now on our show. And it's like, people are like, God, why didn't they tap into that? You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's just us pointing a camera at him saying, hey, here's a few lines. Maybe can you say this? And then he delivers it in the most spectacular way. I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize it was going to be so good when I wrote it down. You're way better actor than I am, you know? He's just, it's just unreal. It's fun.
Do you guys have to do any retakes?
Oh, yeah.
We just filmed some stuff right now.
We did a scene that took three right now.
A lot of the times, though, it is one take, and I think it's more organic keeping that one take.
Yeah.
Because then if you overthink it, I think it gets
it's not lost. As natural, because then you're like, what was my line I wanted to say?
Yeah.
We did a scene yesterday with Mick Foley and Marty, and it was just it was one take. And it was like knockout of the park home run.
And Marty's like, should we do it again? I was like, hell.
I said, I'm not making Mick do that again.
Yeah,
like,
no way.
Killed it.
Yeah.
I like gave, I squeezed Mick's arm right before. I said, no pressure, but like 200,000 people are going to see this. And because he, I think at first he thought this is just like a little fun thing we were
going
to do. Like,
he thought it was going on Twitter where no one would see
I was like,
it.
No, man. This is the, and he's like, okay. And then he like cut like crazy promo for us. Yeah, after I was like, thank you, Mick. You were great, you know. But yeah, it takes, sometimes it takes like an hour to do a scene. Kenny's very particular.
Yeah.
When we have to shoot a long scene with Kenny, it could take up to an hour.
Because Kenny's like, no, this should be better acted here.
You know what? He's
this
a perfectionist.
Is here. And that's why he's so good at what he does.
He's a perfectionist. So. I remember one of my favorite scenes he ever did was
And another scene, thing? That one?
When he was laying in bed, acting like he was dead.
That was like 6 minutes long.
But he hit that first take. We were like, there's no way we could redo that ever again.
No, we had to because we all started laughing. So I think he had to do it a few times, I thought.
No, that was one.
Okay, I remember. That I remember he was acting so good in that scene. I left the room and went into the bathroom and locked myself because I was laughing. So I had to put put my fists in my mouth.
At one point, Hangman was the cameraman.
Yeah, he starts shaking.
You could see the camera shaking because he was laughing so much. But we couldn't redo it. Oh, and you know what? The same clip, Cody's laughing his ass off.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He has to leave the shot and then come back.
It's almost like we're performing for each other, though, too, because like a lot of the people are always in the room and they're not necessarily in the shot, but we're like kind of the little audience. Like right now, me and Nick did a scene with Flip upstairs, and Cody and Hangman are in the room, and like I'm just trying to pop them essentially.
Yeah, right now we're doing a storyline where we like Flip now, but everyone else still hates him.
Yeah,
and we want to get him booked desperately on All In, but no one else does.
Yeah.
So we pretty much did a scene where
like today's your shot, because if he beats Cody today, he's all in. Yeah.
So we did that in one take, and it turned out good. So.
But, like, we actually had to, are you going to be able to edit it, right? Because Flip starts laughing. Because I'm right in his ear. Yeah, I'm right in his ear. And I'm like, how bad do you want it, Flip?
Yeah, I'm going to end it right there.
How bad do you want it?
I'm going to end it.
And, like, Hangman starts laughing. But that's when you know you have a good scene. You're like, okay, everyone
thinks it's funny. A lot of times I keep the laughter at the end because I think the fans like it when they
see I relate it to, like, SNL. Like, if you're watching a really funny scene and you see some of the actors kind of, like, shaking, you're like, okay, this is funny.
I think that makes it even funnier, to be honest.
As long as it's not like full sound.
Full, it's just like like you can see his face cracking a little.
Yeah, that works.
Right.
And
right.
So you do the editing, but also like you guys have like an eye for kind of shots that one shot in the airport where Cody sees Kenny.
Right.
Yeah.
He's trying to. And you guys keep in both perspectives.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
That was
a hard one. Yeah.
You know?
That was tough.
That took about. You know what's funny about that is. We had 10 minutes till we were actually boarding our flight.
Yeah, that was pressure.
We did like five.
We almost missed our flight.
So
it was last final call.
It was final call for the flight.
It was final call.
Oh my God, we almost missed our flight because we went.
We get into the plane. Everyone's like, "Where the hell were you guys?"
Well, we had to get a shot.
You originally came up with the idea for Kenny to be vlogging, and we'd be in the background.
Yeah.
I said, "How funny would it be if we vlogged too, and we intertwine the shots?" And I didn't know it was going to come out so good. It came out really good.
All
right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to, Matt, how does it feel to be in the same room with somebody who's mutton chops or
something? I knew you were going to say that. Yours are crazy right now. Mine, I have to trim because my wife gets a little on my. She says, come on, Matt, this is ridiculous. And she gets on my case a little bit.
I get the opposite. I get the holy missing patches. So
holy
she
crap.
Grow it out
so it looks
so
she full.
So it looks fuller.
Got it.
So I get encouraged. When I trim it, she's like, what are you doing?
Do you ever grow the chin out too to make it just a beard? Or?
No. You know what the thing is? I teach.
Yeah.
So any kind of
crazy
change like sets them off.
Sure, I get that. You know? I get that. I had the beard for a while, and I'm like, it's not working. Just do
you
a little.
Just did it the other day. You shaved it.
Cut this off.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I'll go back to a beard in a week.
It's a full Comic-Con. the whole time. I'm just ready for my cosplay.
You look like me already.
Yeah. You should do it.
Well, gentlemen, thanks.
Cool, bro.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks, man.
All right, once again, just thanks to Young Bucks. Just really fun talk and being able to pick their brains and excellent moment, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. All right, so just want to touch on some WWE stuff before we get out of here?
Yeah.
All right, I feel that. The one thing I will mention is, did you hear that Rey Mysterio got injured last night?
Yeah, I'm reading that right now. That's unfortunate.
I know. I'm really bummed out about that.
In a tag team match with Flip Gordon against Joey Mercury and Caleb Conley, Rey Mysterio, man, that's unfortunate.
Right? Just such a bummer. But, yeah, I guess we'll just catch up with our WWE news basically next week. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure that you guys go rate, review, and subscribe over on iTunes. You can catch us on SoundCloud and really anywhere else where you get your podcasts. You can send us email directly at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, runningwildlwos, and you can follow us on Facebook at runningwildonwrestling. Make sure that you guys also follow my Ring of Honor coverage over at rohworld.com, pwponderings.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at rich_laconi. With all that out of the way, just for runs, just to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.